From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns commences his second message in a series of studies focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And during his earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to himself, clearly declaring his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. Behold, he prayeth. Prayers are instantly noticed in heaven. The moment Saul began to pray, the Lord heard him. Here is comfort for the distressed but praying soul. Oftentimes a poor broken-hearted one bends his knee, but can only utter his wailing in the language of sighs and tears. Yet that groan has made all the harps of heaven thrill with music. That tear has been caught by God. Thou puttest my tears into thy bottle, implies that they are caught as they flow. The suppliant, whose fears prevent his words, will be well understood by the Most High. He may only look up with misty eye, but prayer is the falling of a tear. Tears are the diamonds of heaven. Sighs are a part of the music of Jehovah's court, and are numbered with the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Think not that your prayer, however weak or trembling, will be unregarded. Jacob's ladder is high, but our prayers shall lean upon the angel of the covenant, and so climb its starry rounds. Our God not only hears prayer, but also loves to hear it. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. True, he regards not high looks and lofty words. He cares not for the pomp and pageantry of kings. He listens not to the swell of martial music. He regards not the triumphant pride of man. But wherever there is a heart big with sorrow, or a lip quivering with agony, or a deep groan, or a penitential sigh, the heart of Jehovah is open. He marks it down in the registry of his memory. He puts our prayers, like rose leaves, between the pages of his book of remembrance, and when the volume is opened at last, there shall be a precious fragrance springing up therefrom. Faith asks no signal from the skies to show that prayers accepted rise. Our priest is in his holy place and answers from the throne of grace.
Thank you.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the fourth in a series of studies dealing with the occurrences in the New Testament of where the Lord Jesus Christ asserted His deity by using that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. In the Gospel of John, Christ used this name seven times. In John 10, verses 1 through 9, we find the third instance of Christ's use of I Am. Although later in the passage, the Savior referred to Himself as the Good Shepherd, His first statement in this chapter is, "I am the door." As Dr. Cairns has explained, this passage is an allegory in which Christ defines the character of under-shepherds or pastors, as well as the significance of the fold. According to the Savior's explanation, the fold contains many flocks, representative of the true people of God, who are under the care of a number of under-shepherds. Furthermore, Christ establishes himself as the exclusive means of entrance into the fold. Here is also an exclusive confession. To enter is to believe on Christ. Then he emphasizes an exclusive certainty. Those who believe on him shall be saved. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Now for the actual interpretation. The sheep are God's people. They are God's true people. I'm not going to be preaching on the sheepfold and the sheep and the flocks and even not very much on the shepherds, just a little about them. At least one peculiar angle on them. But there's a very great exactness here. In the sheepfold, you have various flocks. Because the sheep all together here are speaking of the true people of God. Always beware of any church, any denomination, any assembly. Always beware of any one of those that claims to be the exclusive and only flock of God. That they are the only true church. That they are the only people of God. It's not true. That sheepfold contains the flocks of many pastors. But the sheep are the true, spiritual, redeemed, believing people of God. The sheepfold, by St. Augustine, as he's called, Augustine, Bishop of Hippo, he said it was the Catholic, that is the universal church. He meant, of course, the visible church on earth. And that is nonsense. With all due respect to the memory of Augustine, that is nonsense. It is not the visible church. It is not the nation of Israel, as some have said. When you think of this sheepfold, you'll see a picture that Christ is painting of something that marks these people, God's peculiar sheep, off from the rest of humanity. It marks them off from everybody else. This surrounds them and pens them in. What is it that marks God's people as being unique in this world? Well, you could say, as one great preacher said, it's the covenant of grace. That would be true. I tend to think of it slightly differently, that this sheepfold really is the covenant community of God's true believing people. In the Old Testament, that was mainly Israel. In the New Testament, that's the church. It's the Israel of God. But whatever way you mark it out, it's the fold of the Lord. It is the covenant community of God's true believing people. The shepherd, as I've said, is not the Lord Jesus Christ here, but true ministers of the gospel. Christ is depicting them in terms that set them forth as the opposite of the false shepherds who, like the Pharisees, and this, remember, follows on from John chapter 9. We'll have cause to refer to that in a moment. These Pharisees who had unlawfully and with evil purpose come among the sheep. And then he says twice, I am the door. The door of the sheepfold is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the door. Now, it's very important that you notice in verse 7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. Then in verse 9, he simply says, I am the door. As I think I'll be able to show you as we go along, the main drift of this is speaking about ministers of the gospel and their work in relation to Christ. The great thing to notice here is that both the shepherd and the sheep have to enter by that door. And the message, the doctrine, is very clear. It's a truth about Christ the mediator. And it's saying that the only entrance into salvation or into service in the true church of God is Jesus Christ himself. He is the door. He is the only entrance either into salvation or into service in the true church of God. Now, first in verse 7, he is the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. Get that very clearly in your mind. See the picture of the sheep being led in through the door. And that's the only way. Those sheep cannot climb the wall. Those sheep cannot get in any other way. There is one entrance for the sheep to get into this sheepfold. And the message is unmistakable. There is only one way into the true church of Jesus Christ. There's only one way to become rightly related to God. There's only one way for any man or any woman ever to be saved. Now, there are many ways into the visible church. This is why I said, with all due respect to Augustine, it's utter nonsense to talk about this allegory as saying that the fold, the sheepfold, is the visible church. There are many ways into the visible church. You don't get into the visible church only through Christ. You can get into the visible church in many parts of the world by birth. In fact, in parts of Europe at the moment, there is a very big discussion going on because people born into countries that have a state church, was true for many years in England, it's been true for many years in Scandinavia. You're born into a state church, you're a member of that church. The government takes your taxes and gives billions of dollars every year to that church. You're a member of the church by birth. You can get into the visible church by profession. I have been aghast sometimes when I have attended some fundamental churches. When I've been on vacation, I go along to hear and I have been aghast that everybody from the age of 2 or 3 to whatever they can get them up into the baptismal tank haven't even known what's going on sometimes. Suddenly they got them up there and now they're joining the church. So you can get into the visible church by profession. I could name you cases where people get into the church by paying. If you're rich enough, I could name you cases where ministers have come slobbering over the slippers of rich men. They'll do anything to get them in. Many ways into the visible church. But there's only one way into the church of God. One door, one entrance, one access. And the awful truth is that it's possible to be a member of the visible church. And I'm now talking about churches of every denomination. It's possible to be a member of the visible church without coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's impossible to be a member of God's church, the true church of the redeemed, the church of the firstborn, except through Christ alone. Bishop Ryle put it in his usual simple and succinct fashion when he said, "Every sheep must come through me," says Christ, "if he would join God's flock." That's the Lord Jesus's meaning and his message. And if you look at it, you'll see that in it he makes an exclusive claim. And as I said in dealing with the I ams before, there's an emphasis on the I. It's emphatic. I and I alone am the door. I am the sole exclusive entrance and way of access to God. To use Paul's words to teach the same thing, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. Remember to whom he's speaking. He's speaking to the Jews. And what he's saying here is the entrance, the door, is not Moses. The door is not even Abraham. Sadly, the Lord Jesus had to draw the distinction between those who were of Abraham's physical progeny, but they were not of his spiritual seed. So the door is not Moses. The door is not Abraham. The door is not circumcision. The door is not the sacraments. And here, of course, he was running contrary to the accepted views of the Jewish rabbis of his time. The Jewish literature of ancient times tells you very clearly that the Jews believed that that covenant mark of circumcision outweighed everything else. It was the entrance to eternal life. Jesus is saying, it is not the entrance to eternal life. I am the entrance to eternal life. This is the claim exclusively made by the Lord Jesus. I and I alone am the way of access to God, the entrance into life. Then he speaks of an exclusive confession. He's speaking here of any man enters by me. Now, remember the figure of speech. He says, I'm the door. So, obviously, if you're going to make use of the door, you enter by it. When he said, I'm the bread of life, he spoke about eating him. Now, Christ is not literally bread, and he's not literally eaten. He is the bread of life. To eat him is to believe on him. He is not a literal door made of wood with hinges. He is the entrance to life eternal. He's the access to God. And to enter this door is to believe on him. It is the exercise of faith. It is to acknowledge his unique claim. It is to acknowledge his person as the mediator. It is to acknowledge his office as the only one who can conduct a poor sinner to God. It is to abandon all hope in self-effort, in self-righteousness, in one's religion, in anything else, and it is to come to God through Jesus Christ alone. That's what Christ is speaking of here. This confession, this exclusive confession that absolutely repudiates every other way of salvation, every other means of attaining favor with God, every other means of getting to glory, this confession repudiates everything but Christ, everyone but Christ, as a means of being right with God. This is what Paul meant when in Romans chapter 10 he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. This confession of Christ as Lord, this confession of Christ as Savior, as Mediator, as the sole way to God, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that brings us to the third element here, where Jesus speaks of an exclusive certainty. Shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Here's the certainty. Jesus says, I'm the door. I do lead to God. I want you to get what he's saying. It's impossible to come to me and fail to get to God. It's impossible to come to me and fail to get into the true church. It's impossible to come to me and fail to be saved. It's impossible to come to me and yet be lost. That's his great statement. There's a certainty here. Verse 9 puts it beyond all doubt. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, there's faith. There's the personal confession of Christ. He'll be saved. He shall be saved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.